Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Good morning and welcome to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin. Tough day, tough evening. I'm recording this at 1 a.m. my time. The Lakers were eliminated about maybe a couple hours ago. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they respond to this offseason. Got to recap that game. Got to give some thoughts on the season on a whole and send you off into a weekend with some, we'll try to lighten the mood as much as I possibly can, given the fact that the Lakers season just ended. Let's get to that here in a bit. Final score from last night, 113 to 100. The Lakers once again struggled to score, and that was kind of the story of these playoffs. The Lakers role players just did not show up, especially offensively, and you just aren't going to win very many games when you are outscored and wow, I just almost went full Magic Johnson. You aren't gonna win very many games where you get outscored. Yes. Just absolutely incredible analysis there for myself. But the ways that the Lakers got outscored, Phoenix was getting easier buckets just throughout the majority of that series, and the Lakers need to find ways to get back to scoring in much easier ways than they did this season. And that's going to fall on Rob Pelinka and Rich Paul and LeBron James's shoulders this offseason as they try to retool for what one might call, you know, the last couple prime years that LeBron might have to offer. He looked kind of crippled in this series. He barely spent any time above the rim, maybe the least amount of time that LeBron has spent above the rim in any playoff setting over the course of his career. And some of that might have to do with the ankles. Some of it might have to do with the Lakers team makeup and the amount of space that he didn't have down there. But regardless of what caused it, that was the reality of the situation. And I thought, you know, when LeBron really turned it up and played the center and really started forcing things, you saw the Suns deficit, which I believe got well above 50 or well above 20 points. That dwindled all the way down almost to single digits, but it just wound up not being quite enough because the Lakers dug themselves too deep a hole. And then even then, when the Lakers were making their runs, the Suns were able to hit timely shots, or the Lakers missed some timely shots of their own. It was just this team was just a shell of itself by the end of the season, and that's kind of what it looks like when a season ends shorter than you kind of imagine. There's going to be a ton of time, and I'm sure even on this episode that I'm going to spend some time kind of looking at some of the tweaks that the Lakers should maybe make at their roster. We have an entire offseason to get ready for that for. But I do want to look back on this season, and I'm sorry. I know it seems like a cop-out or seems like excuse-making or whatever, but expecting a team to come off of a championship season, any championship season, right, and then resume basketball activities about a month after that, and then ask that team to play a bunch of games in a shorter time span than they normally would, is idiocy. It's ridiculous. And obviously we would hope that there would be ways for the Lakers to get through that slog of a season healthy, but it now looking back, it always felt like this probably was something that we should have seen coming. And you look at the four conference finalists from last year. The Boston Celtics went through such a slog that Danny Ainge said he didn't want to be there anymore. And Brad Stevens considered it such a drag that he called Danny Ainge's job easy. The Miami Heat are they got run right out of the playoffs. They got swept by a team that they beat in five games last year. And then these Lakers get beat in the first round as Anthony Davis tries to go in the early parts of this game, isn't able to, which, by the way, like, he shouldn't have been out there. But anyway, he tries to go, lasts about 5 minutes and some change, not able to finish the game. Like we said a second ago with LeBron, he barely looked like himself for much of this series. And you look at some of the role players, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was banged up. Alex Caruso wasn't able to play in the second half. He strained his ankle. Lord knows where the bleep Kyle Kuzma went. It was just a season that if people want to apply an asterisk to the bubble year that the Lakers won a championship in, then if they want to be consistent, you would maybe apply that same line of thinking to a season that featured so many superstars going down because this year was played under such stupid circumstances, just absolutely ridiculous circumstances. In my opinion, you apply no asterisk to either. That would be my line of thought. But you have to understand the context under which this season was played, and it was always going to be this ridiculous by the end of the year. Speaking of Anthony Davis and his decision, or the Lakers' decision, to let him go at the beginning of this game and let him try to play through it. Look, I obviously am not the biggest fan of TNT's coverage of the NBA and their national show. I think they're really entertaining. They're great when they aren't talking about this current iteration of the NBA. But Charles Barkley calling Anthony Davis street clothes only a couple days ago because he wasn't able to play in Game 5, and then ridiculing the Lakers for letting him play in Game 6. What? How does that make any sense whatsoever? Now, that doesn't mean that Charles isn't right on that second point. He was just, you can't play both sides of that coin when you're part of the national media that is kind of inherently pressuring players to play through pain. Anthony Davis never looked okay. Like, he came out, he was out there and spent, I would say, once every other possession. He would look down at his groin and kind of shake his head. Then he got bumped once by Devin Booker, couldn't stop on that play, grabbed at his groin on that one. And then obviously you had later in a few minutes later where he tries to go up and contest, tries to land and stop, and immediately calls for a sub. And I hope that he didn't further injure himself. Chris Haynes reported that he didn't further injure himself, but I'm sorry, man. Like, we saw what we saw. That was not somebody who was just like, oh yeah, it was just a little extra pain. No, he contested that shot, walked back to the baseline, immediately told his teammates to foul so that he could get out of the game, and crumpled on the sideline immediately. That is not pain just getting worse. That looks like the injury itself getting worse. And this is where I get kind of frustrated with the way that professional sports go, where the retort to what the hell is the medical staff there for is, well, who are they to tell an athlete what they can and cannot do with their body? It's their freaking job. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what you're paid to do, is to tell an athlete when it is or is not safe to be able to go. I had Jen on this very show a couple days ago, and she said that a grade one groin strain is the kind of thing that holds athletes out for weeks, plural, weeks. We're talking about days later. And the Lakers thought it was wise to just let him roll the dice out there. And hopefully, this is not something that they got too much worse. The injury itself didn't get too much worse. But it was stupid for him to go out there. And you know, there's the analysis right now is like, oh, well, he's Frank Vogel called him a warrior, and he called him all of these things. And yes, his heart is in his brain. And his heart are in the right place. But at some point, you do have to protect the athlete from themselves. And in this case, I think the Lakers training staff deserves some very public ridicule for really dropping the ball on this one. All right. So obviously, that's just about going to do it for this one. There's going to be an entire offseason to be able to look at this roster and see where things might have gone wrong, see what they can tweak moving forward. We are going to, on this feed, we are going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to spend a lot more time on this feed looking at the NBA as a whole. We're in this really interesting spot where Steph Curry gets knocked out by Ja Morant, and LeBron and AD get knocked out, granted by injuries, but also by Devin Booker and that young star there. Luka is hopefully tonight going to knock out Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And you're seeing a potential shifting of the guard a little bit here. And that entire dynamic is going to be really fascinating to look at, not just as NBA fans, but also through the Lakers prism. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing here on this channel, on this feed. And then we also have some really cool projects set up for you throughout this offseason that, granted, is starting way earlier than we might have hoped. But this might also kind of feel like the likeliest scenario given the circumstances under which this Lakers season was played. You are going to want to listen to Harrison and Sabrina. They are on the Lakers Lounge today. I did my second podcast yesterday. So Harrison and Sabrina are going to look back on the season in longer form. You're not going to want to miss that. And then this next week, we kick off our off-season coverage, our looking back coverage, our looking ahead coverage, all of that good stuff here on the Silver Screen and Roll podcast feed, wherever that you find podcasts. I want to thank you guys a ton for your support, for the support that you gave me at my previous job, the amount of support that is carried over to this one, and for the amount of support that you guys have given Silver Screen and Roll throughout this season. I obviously did podcasting here while I was also working at the last spot, and I have always felt this community is something that's very near and dear to me and my family. So I can't wait to get a full off season and a full season under my belt with you guys in this current role. We have some, again, really awesome things planned. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We will talk to you on Monday.